It's Faith Radio Mornings with Ted and PK, and now we pick up with our friend Ron Rhodes. We talked with him yesterday about his latest book, 40 Days Through Revelation, Uncovering the Mystery of the End Times. Ron, of course, president of Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministry, author of more than 60 books, and we're excited to talk to him about this one and dig a little deeper into the book of Revelation.
So, Ron, we just want to dig right in again. Let's talk about Revelation and what it says about the tribulation period. Now, we were talking yesterday about, you know, there's always the discussion of pre, mid, or post-tribulation. When does the rapture happen and all of that? But let's just address at this point, what is the tribulation period and what does that mean for us?
Well, the tribulation period is a seven-year period that precedes the second coming of Christ. And during this time, things start out okay. Things are not terrible for the first couple of months. But, you know, things start to go haywire, and it gets from bad to worse, really, as the seven-year period begins to unfold. And what's very interesting is that during the tribulation period, there are a number of personalities mentioned, and that would include two prophetic witnesses that have the same kinds of powers as Moses and Elijah. And they do tremendous miracles, and many people become believers during that time. And I mention this specifically because it's not all bad news. You know, there will be those judgments during the tribulation period, but God is still at work, and there will still be people who become believers during that time. And I think those two prophets are going to really get a lot of attention. There's also mention of 144,000 Jewish witnesses who will go all over planet Earth during the tribulation period, and they will be witnessing to people. And you have to sort of understand the Old Testament backdrop, because the Old Testament said that the Jewish people were supposed to be a light unto the Gentiles. In other words, they were supposed to tell the rest of the world about the true Messiah. Now, they initially failed at that because they didn't recognize Jesus as the Messiah, but these 144,000 will actually fulfill that mandate. And so you're going to have many conversions based upon their work. Now, during this time, the bad part of the picture is there's going to be three sets of judgments, the seal judgments and the trumpet judgments and the bowl judgments, and they just go from bad to worse. And these are judgments that are poured out on an unbelieving world. You know, the very fact that God has sent two prophets and 144,000 witnesses shows that God cares and God doesn't want people to suffer. But these are people who have turned their backs on God that lived during the tribulation period, and they are really suffering just retribution for what they have done. They have chosen to be there by turning against God. But again, it's not all bad news, because many become believers during that time.
We're talking again with Ron Rhodes here. 40 Days Through Revelation is the book that he's written most recently, Uncovering the Mystery of the End Times. I think another prominent character that we need to mention is the Antichrist.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on that, and how does the Antichrist play into everything?
Well, you know, the Antichrist is a figure that will come to rule the world one day, and he's not going to have a badge on that says, "I'm the Antichrist." You know, rather, he's going to be a leader that seems to have the answers that the world needs. And in fact, I think the stage is being set even today for that, because today people are crying out for answers. You know, they're looking at our world, and they say that the world seems to be out of control. We've got all these nations rising up against nations, and we've got military conflicts and economic problems, and things are just bad. And so they're crying out for somebody to take control and make things better. And I think that's going to continue right up until the time that the Antichrist actually comes on the scene. And Scripture reveals that he will actually emerge over in Europe, a revived Roman Empire. In fact, the way that you might look at it is that he will head up a United States of Europe. And really what he does to get things going is he signs a covenant with Israel, and apparently solves the Middle East crisis, which is the crisis that really has the whole world upset right now, you know, with all the Muslims aligned against Israel and so forth. And so he's going to solve that issue. And that signing of the covenant actually marks the beginning of the seven-year countdown of the tribulation period. What's really bad, though, is that right in the middle of the tribulation period, he really starts to become not just a political leader, but a religious leader. And in fact, he sets himself up as God. He puts an image of himself inside the Jewish temple, and he also seeks to control the world economy. And in fact, if you don't agree to worship the Antichrist, you will not be able to buy or sell during that time. And basically what that means is you can't eat if you don't submit to the Antichrist. And so what I think that we're going to see happen during that time is a polarization. No longer will there be a middle ground of people who are not committed to anything. Rather, you're going to be either for God or for the Antichrist. You know, you're going to make a choice. And if you make a choice for the Antichrist, then the book of Revelation says that you automatically become a recipient of the wrath of God. And so it's a very serious choice.
Maybe I was wrong in assuming this. I think from a young age, I always heard Antichrist, and I would think it's Satan incarnate. Not necessarily true?
Well, I think that Satan will, you know, the scripture says in Revelation that he's energized by the devil. He's energized by Satan. Mm. Now, how do we interpret that energized? Does that just mean that he's influenced, or does that mean that he's indwelt? The way that I look at it is this. Revelation chapter 12 talks about a great battle up in the heavens between Satan and his angels and the archangel Michael and the holy angels. And Satan is definitively cast down to the earth at that point. And that happens right in the middle of the tribulation. My personal viewpoint is that at that point, Satan will indwell the Antichrist. And what's amazing is that in terms of doing a character study of the Antichrist during the tribulation, we discover that Satan has those exact same characteristics. And so we can see that the same character that is in Satan is actually reflected in a very outward way in the work of the Antichrist. You know, just to give you one example of that, Satan, according to Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, sought to set himself up in God's place. Likewise, the Antichrist in Revelation 13 sets himself up as God. And so in view of the fact that apparently Satan indwells the Antichrist, we see that the Antichrist takes on the characteristics of Satan himself.
Mm. And I think we can take a lot of energy, too, to try and guess who the Antichrist is right now. And, you know, there are people that we probably have already assigned to that position by their good or bad judgment or whatever, mm-hmm. you know. But isn't there a danger in doing maybe that or even in predicting the date and all the energy that goes into this kind of thing? What do you think about that, Ron?
Well, I think it's a very important question. I think that throughout history, and I'm talking from the first century all the way up to the present, there have been people who have guessed who the Antichrist might be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so far, there's a 100% track record of being wrong. Now, that track record ought to be a warning to us, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we shouldn't try to guess who it is. And you know what? If you take 2 Thessalonians 2 seriously, it talks about how, you know, the Antichrist will not be revealed until there's a falling away from the truth. And as a pre-trib, I believe that that's not going to take place until after the rapture. The point being that if you know who the Antichrist is, you've been left behind, apparently. Now, you don't want that to happen. But here's something to think about also. This date-setting thing has really become popular in our day, but mm-hmm. so far the track record of those who have tried to set dates have been 100% wrong as well.
Again, right.
And, you know, there's this little verse that Jesus spoke forth himself, and that verse has to do with the fact that you and I cannot know the day or the hour. We can know the season of the Lord's return by observing the prophetic signs of the times, but we don't know the day or the hour. And if you ever hear a radio preacher or anybody else set a certain date for the rapture, you can automatically know that that person is wrong because Jesus himself has said that you cannot know the day or the hour. And so that's something you ought to just put as an anchor into the ground. Only God knows that.
Yeah, that's a great reminder for us all, and it's a good voice of reason and truth in the midst of a lot of different date setting going on and different things. We got to get in a quick break. We'll come back, though, and continue talking with Ron Rhodes. Again, he is president of Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministries and author of the latest book, 40 Days Through Revelation, Uncovering the Mystery of the End Times. More with Ron Rhodes coming up in a moment. And welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings with Ted and PK. We're talking with Ron Rhodes, president of Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministries and author of many books, the latest one, 40 Days Through Revelation, Uncovering the Mystery of the End Times.
Ron, as we're looking at Revelation, we're seeing what's coming. That really should, I think, quicken our hearts to just reach out to those that don't know Jesus as their Savior. How do we kind of work on our testimony, or how can we help others know the urgency of this? Because people will put this off and say, oh, I'll do that when my kids are older, or, you know, just interesting comments when you share the gospel. How can we become more urgent in doing that?
Well, first of all, recognize that Scripture itself communicates this urgency. You know, now is the day of salvation, Paul says to the Corinthians. Now is the day of salvation. And I think that's important because a lot of people have this mindset that they're guaranteed 70 or 80 years on earth, and you just don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And so now is the day of salvation. I think it's incumbent upon us to have an attitude of being faithful to the mandate that Christ gave us, not only in terms of the Great Commission, in which we're supposed to take the gospel to the entire world, but we're also supposed to be light and salt in our world. And as Jesus himself said, you don't put light under a bucket. You don't hide your light, but it's like one person once said, we're supposed to shine like a sparkling diamond, and every single Christian can make a difference in the world. You know, somebody said that throwing a single small pebble into the pond causes multiple ripples to move out. You know, you might think that you as a single Christian can't make a difference, but in fact, every one of us has a sphere of influence. That's people around us, people at work, people in our neighborhood, people in our community. And Scripture calls us to be lights to those people that we have an influence on. And you can use Bible prophecy as an evangelistic tool. You don't want to hop right in and talk about some of the, you know, the harder issues of prophecy. Like, you don't want to just hop right in and say, oh, the Antichrist is going to take over one day, and then you're going to have to receive the mark of the beast and so on and so forth. What I would do is to start off by talking about how God is so great that he knows the future. And because he knows the future, he's in control of human history and is guiding human history toward its culmination. And one of the key teachings of the Bible is that Jesus will one day come again. Now, you can use that as a starting point. And as you continue to witness to the person, and as the Holy Spirit continues to enlighten their understanding, then you can go deeper into some of the more specific details of Bible prophecy.
Well, Ron, gosh, the time goes so fast, you know, with you, and this is such a big topic. We appreciate the way you succinctly sum it up for us. In closing, we probably want to say a word about hope, though, right, BK?
Yeah, let's talk about the words that you list out in your book. What verses and what can be our mindset so that we're not afraid and that God is still in control?
Well, you know, when Jesus was talking about Bible prophecy to some of his followers there in John 14, he closes up by saying, you trust in God, but trust also in me. Let not your hearts be troubled. To me, that's such a key thing for us to keep in mind. One of the things that touches the heart in the book of Revelation is the fact that we're supposed to trust in God inside of our heart. Trusting God means looking beyond what we can see to what God sees. And the book of Revelation indicates that we can trust in God's sovereignty in the midst of our difficult days. And what that means for you and me specifically is that as children of a sovereign God, we are never victims of our circumstances. And if you want to be a truly spiritual person, have some quiet confidence in your heart that God is in control, because he really is.
Amen. Well put. That's a great note to end on, too. Ron, thank you so much. Ron Rhodes has been our guest, president of Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministries, author of numerous books. The one we're talking about today is 40 Days Through Revelation, Uncovering the Mystery of the End Times. And we have links for this at myfaithradio.com/FRM. Thanks again, Ron.
Thank you.